Thanks again, everybody, for joining tonight's call for the Sjogren's Foundation. We're excited to have Mary Wiseman here with us tonight. We're excited to be covering the topic of exercise at home. Mary is a longtime fitness trainer. She owns FitWise LLC in Manchester, New Hampshire, where she's been for the last 12 years with them. And we got to meet with Mary because her niece, Samantha, is a Sjogren's patient. And so Mary and her sister and her niece have been involved with our New Hampshire walk. And Mary, as I say, is an unbelievable advocate for the disease, an awareness ambassador, as well as a sponsor and supporter of the foundation. And now she can add speaker to her list of things she does for the foundation, because this afternoon she spoke for us and this evening she'll be speaking for us on exercise. I will say I took part in this afternoon's call, of course, and will be here all night tonight. But Mary does a phenomenal job at working through various ideas you can do at home with different things around your house to try to get some fitness in. And she covers all the various ability levels that you may have or the issues you might deal with because of your Sjogren's or because of other issues. So she'll hit all those points while she's talking. Again, as I always say, you can take what you want, leave what you don't. You don't have to do everything. I said this on all the calls. These are really calls to just get you thinking and thinking about new ideas of things you might be able to add to your life while being quarantined. But these ideas Mary shares, I will tell you, can go a lifetime, because some of the examples she had this afternoon were phenomenal. And Mary, in her experience at her gym in New Hampshire, where she owns a private studio, she has worked with people of all ages, men and women, and she really understands working on personal plans for each person. So she was able to take all that experience and really come down to some really great tidbits for all of us to take with us. So I'm excited for you to see Mary this evening. What we're going to do is Mary's going to take over. She'll stop once in a while and ask questions. If you have questions during the time she's presenting, you can throw them in the chat room, and I'll ask them. And in between her exercise examples, I can ask her a question. Or you can raise your hand, as you all know, if you've participated before, under the participant button on the bottom of your screen. You just hit raise hand. There's three muted gray buttons at the bottom. When you hit participants, where the number 34 is, it'll open a screen. You can hit raise hand there, and it'll bring you to the top of the queue. And when we get a break, we'll bring you in for a question. Or you can hit *9 on your phone as well if you'd like to ask a question that way. Or just like I said, pop it in the chat room, in the chat box, and we'll ask it for you while she's doing it. And sometimes you might have a question about repetition or who knows what, and by all means, we'd like to get that question in while she's doing what she's doing. So with that, I know you're going to enjoy this evening, so I'll turn it over to Mary Wiseman.
All right. Hi, everybody. I just want to say thank you again to Stephen, to Kathy, and to Ben for this awesome opportunity. We had a great time this afternoon. Things went pretty smoothly. Got a lot of information covered, and we're going to try and do the same thing tonight for everybody. So once again, like Stephen said, this isn't exactly a workout for you to stand up and follow. So just kick back and, you know, take from it what you can. Take some notes. If you want to follow along, you certainly can. It's not a workout format by any means, but I will be showing you some targeted exercises and pretty much covering all different components of fitness and exercise, which leads me to my first point, which is the different components don't necessarily, they're not limited to just strength training and cardiovascular. A couple things that I find get left out a lot are flexibility and range of motion and balance, along with strength training for muscles and also cardiovascular. So one of the first things that I'd like to address will be flexibility and range of motion. We have different types of joints in our bodies, and like I mentioned earlier in the first call, I don't expect you to understand what types of joints those are. Some people may not, but we'll start with the shoulder joint. It's basically like a ball and socket joint. It can move in all these different fun directions, which allow you to move your arms pretty much everywhere, up above your head, behind your body, in front of your body, to the sides. The thing is, if you don't use these joints to their fullest range of motion, you lose the range of motion. And that's something that's very important to take away from this conversation today. So one thing that you do want to do is make sure that these joints do get used fully to their capacity. Something similar to the shoulder joint would be the hip joint. Okay, what a lot of people don't understand is that the hips can move in all those different directions too. And that's something that I'll demonstrate when I do stand up. Sometimes we feel like we just move forward and backward because we just walk to the front or we walk backwards. We have side lateral movements. We have diagonal movements. We can raise our leg up, rotate it out to the side. All these different things that we can do with these joints. Then we have two other types of joints, which would be something like your wrist and your ankles, where we can pretty much rotate them around in different directions, but they don't quite have the ball and socket movement that the shoulder and the hips have. But once again, very important that we work our hands and our wrists and our ankles through those motions. Because again, if you don't use it, you will lose it, okay? I know it sounds kind of, you know, hokey when I say it that way, but it's true, unfortunately. You might notice things are a little bit tight when you first start moving them. That's okay, things will warm up, the blood starts to flow, and that's perfectly fine. So the first thing I'm going to do is actually step back just a little bit and show you a few different flexibility and range of motion exercises. So once again, don't feel like you have to follow along with this. Just take note, okay? So just move this guy forward here. And the first thing I'm going to do is actually get down onto the ground, and I'll be kneeling. And I understand that not everybody can do these things. If you have pain in your knees or limited range of motion, don't worry about it if you can't do this exercise. Maybe you can put an extra pad under your knee. But the first thing we're going to do is actually, I'll show you on this leg, is kneel on one leg at a 90 degree angle, and then the other leg comes forward at a 90 degree angle. What we're going to do is tighten up with our abdomen and our glutes and just lean forward with your hips, okay? Keep your shoulders back and your chest forward. And what we're doing is we're actually stretching out the hip flexor area right here, which gets super tight when you're sitting in a chair. Okay, if you have a job, or even if you're not working, if you're standing during the day, maybe you're doing some cooking at the counter, these muscles can still get tight even though you're standing, okay? So just something not to overlook is this hip flexor area as far as stretching goes. Another one we're going to do, I'm going to lie down on my back, and hopefully I think you could probably see me from this position here, is pull in my left leg towards my chest like this. My right leg stays fully extended. As I'm pulling in on my left leg, I'm going to extend my left arm out and pull across my body to the right, okay? So my left hip will actually come up off the ground. And when my left hip comes off the ground, it's going to actually stretch that left glute out, okay? So your buttocks muscle on the left side, it's a great stretch for that. Again, repeat on the other side, okay? When I show you things on one side, obviously do the other as well. The next one I'm going to do is called cat-cow. Some of you probably know of this exercise. The reason it's called cat-cow is the first part of it, I'm going to arch my back upward and drop my head so I look like a cat, a Halloween cat. So push up, just like this, round your back, drop your head, and then lower your back and bring your head up, and this is cow. Okay, so again, cat, press up with your back, down with your head, and cow, down with your back, up with your head. And this is a great range of motion flexibility exercise for your entire spine, okay? Feels awesome to do if you ever get a tight back between your shoulders, your low back, things are just a little jammed up, maybe you slept the wrong way. Great exercise just to get a little flexible. Another one, if you kneel and you sit back down towards your heels, okay, your toes are pointed backwards, what I'm gonna have you do is just put your hands on the ground. I'm going to slide back just a little bit so you can see me. And you're just going to sit back towards your heels and stretch your arms straight out. This is going to help stretch out the front of your thighs, your low back, and your shoulders. Okay? So it looks just like this. Hold for a couple of breaths. Come back up. And then what I want you to do from here is just lean forward a little bit more with your hands and drop your hips down to the ground. This is a great one for stretching out your abdomen. And again, a little bit in your lower back, okay? Put your lower back into that slightly sensitive position, so you want to be careful because it does arch back a little bit. So if you do have any low back pain, just use caution when you do that exercise, okay? So that's a little bit about flexibility and range of motion as far as loosening things up, maybe getting the blood flowing before exercise, okay? So the first thing that I'd like to talk to you about is balance. A lot of times, as we age, or even some of us that, you know, are a little bit younger, or some of you, I should say, they're a little bit younger, lose your balance for whatever reason. There are many different reasons that it happens. So the more that you train it, the less you'll lose it, Okay. So a common household item is just a regular bath towel. Fold it in half again, and again. So three times. One last fold to create the towel to look like the size of a shoebox. Okay. Just place this on the ground lengthwise. You can do this with shoes or without. That was actually a question that we had earlier today. Someone wanted to know, can I do this barefoot? I recommend that you try it with shoes on and then without your shoes, because it actually works your ankles and your feet differently. So what I want you to do is stand up on that one foot on the towel and raise the opposite leg, okay? You'll notice when you do this, if you keep a slight bend in the leg that you're standing on, your ankle gets a little funny and it starts to try to balance. A lot going on there. It's all those little stabilizer muscles that are kicking in, trying to keep you balancing on that towel. It's a little bit more difficult than just being on the ground. It may not feel like a lot to some people, but to others, you might notice that it really fires up those muscles and it starts to burn in the ankle. That's okay. Just switch to the other side. If that feels like, okay, that's something that's kind of easy for me, it's not challenging enough, then what you can do is you can go to the cabinet, grab a bag of beans or rice, something that's about 2, maybe 3 pounds. Take that out of your cabinet, bring it over, get back up on your towel. Okay, these are all household items that you can use during this workout. Go back into your stabilized position, keep your foot up off the ground, and all I want you to do is keep a straight arm and reach around your body like this, hand it to the other hand behind you, and bring it around to the front. Okay, looks super easy, but it's not. Then reverse direction, same thing. And then you can repeat it on the other side. So that's a great one for balance. And again, another thing that comes in handy when you work these kinds of exercises and you're working on those stabilizer muscles, if you're ever walking along or you're walking in the winter and you slip on some ice or step off the edge of a curb, I know most of us have done it or we've seen people that have done it and they actually break their ankles. If you train these muscles and you make them nice and strong, God forbid you have an accident like that, chances are you won't injure yourself. Okay, so it does pay to keep these things strong. The next exercise for balance, which also works your glute muscles, okay, your butt muscles, your hamstrings, which are the back of your legs, also the stabilizer muscles in your ankles and your knees and your hips, is a single leg deadlift. Okay, so on this one, I'm just going to demonstrate. I'm going to keep the chair out in front of me just to show you a modification, just in case your balance isn't that great. And notice I'm using it tonight because I'm a little tired. My balance probably isn't that great. So what we want to do is position ourselves on one foot. The other leg goes back out behind us. Both legs stay straight. So before you do anything, find a fixed focal point on the ground in front of you, which to me is just to the left of this chair. As you're staring straight ahead, tighten up with your abdomen, squeeze tight with your glutes, and keep your back flat, okay? We don't want to round the back like this. We want a nice flat back, chest forward. What I'm going to do from this position is hinge forward at the waist, reach out with my hands. I'll touch the chair like this, make sure I'm stable, squeeze tight with the glutes again, so you'll notice my body is straight from my shoulders to my foot, and then slowly I'll let go of the chair and stand back up. You can see I'm a little shaky on that one tonight. So that is a great one, as I mentioned, for balance, for glutes, for hamstrings, ankle stability, knee stability, and hip stability, okay? So now that we've worked through balance, we're gonna talk a little bit about leg strength. Now that we have this awesome chair with arms that I brought in from the outside just for this demonstration, this is also something that most people have at home, okay? Make sure when you use a chair like this, it's not a folding chair. Make sure that it's stable and the arms are nice and secure. So the first thing I want you to do, it's pretty simple. It's a very functional move. It's something we all do all day, which is basically sit down and stand up. So when you sit down, the only difference is I want you to really think about what you're doing. Most of us, when we go to sit down in a chair, what do? Sit down and we just kind of flop back like this, right? We didn't think about it at all. We just plopped into our chair and hope the cat's not sitting under us. So what I want you to do is start with your feet apart about shoulder width, okay? Toes are pointed slightly outwards. And for this example, stare straight forward when you're doing this exercise, and I want your hands to come up in front of you,
Stick your hips way back and keep a flat back. You can see the arch in my back right here. What I don't want is slumping forward like this, okay? When you have a rounded back, it's not a strong back. So nice flat back, reverse arch. It's a natural spine. So stare straight forward, arms go out in front. Reach way back with your hips, okay? As you're sticking your hips back, your legs touch the seat and you sit back. From this position, we're going to lean forward slightly, focus on squeezing the glutes, okay? As you reach straight forward, squeeze the glutes and push up, okay? It doesn't look like much, but when you do it, the correct way, you'll notice that you do feel it in the correct muscles, the front of the thigh, the back of the thigh, and the glutes, okay? So simple exercise, sit down, stand up. For some people, this is going to be enough, okay? For those of you that need a little bit more than that, what we're going to do is show you a staggered stance. The staggered stance squat, one foot stays back, the other foot goes forward, just like it says, staggered stance. You squat down the same way by sticking your hips back, reach forward with your hands, touch the bench, squeeze and push up. What happens by staggering the legs is majority of the weight goes to that back leg. So it basically is like adding weight without adding weight, if you know what I mean. To take this one up a little bit, as far as bringing it up a notch, what you can do is you can do a squat without the chair behind you, so you have nothing to sit on. So when you reach back with your hips, I sometimes just cross my hands in front of my body like this. Sit back just like you're sitting in a chair, squeeze with the glutes, and push up. If that's still too easy, grab something like a backpack. You can put a couple books in it, maybe some water bottles, a bag of kitty litter. Kitty litter comes in what, 10, 15, 20 pounds? Hang on to the bag, cross your arms in front, same thing. Now we have that weight in front of our body. Go ahead and squat back down slowly, squeeze and push upright, okay? It's a great exercise. So just another thing that you can use at home. So moving on to, let's talk about a little bit of upper body. So the chest muscles in the front, which also hit the front part of the shoulders a tiny bit, but mainly the chest across, and the triceps, which are the backside of the arms, which everybody wants to work. Easy exercise for that, okay? Sounds easy anyways. We're gonna start with a basic push-up. A lot of people can't do a full body push-up, and please don't call them man push-ups or women push or lady push-ups, okay? Women can do full body push-ups. So let's call them full body push-ups or modified from the knees, okay? So just to show you a full body push-up, I'll just do one, just to give you correct form. Go down to the knees, position the feet together so you're on the toes. Hands are just a little bit wider than shoulder width apart. Go up into a plank push-up position. Lower yourself down towards the carpet and push back up, keeping your body nice and flat. Like I said, I don't expect a lot of people to be able to do those, but if you can, awesome. Do as many as you can, they're great for you. If you can't, a modification that we all know about is a push-up from your knees. So I'll show you that one next. From the knees to the hands are in the same position, just like this, okay? Drop the hips down a little bit. This right here is not a modified push-up, okay? I don't know what that is, but try not to do that. So bring your hands forward and drop your hips down a little bit, okay? So they're not sagging. And from this position, bring your chest right down to the rug and push straight back up. That's a modified push-up. If you wanna make it just a little bit more difficult, okay, say the modified one is just a little bit too easy for you, two things you can do. One, we can bring our chair back in and you can do your push-up to the handles of the chair, okay? This one is a little bit more aggressive, but not like a flat push-up on the ground. Same thing, we go to the balls of the feet, just like this, okay? Body's nice and flat. You can see that my body is in line from my feet all the way up to my shoulders. Lower your body down, chest comes right between your hands, and then push back to starting position. The other thing that we can do, if that's too much, it might be too hard. Turn the chair around. You can use a countertop. You can use the back of a sofa. Whatever works, as long as it's stable, okay? So once again, balls of the feet. You can see that the angle is less, so the less of the angle, the easier the move is. It's a great exercise for chest. Another thing that you can do also, if you don't want to do a push-up or maybe that bothers your shoulders, you can get your trusty backpack or your kitty litter bag, lay on the ground. Okay, bring the bag down to your chest and push straight up. Okay, it's the same idea. You're working the same muscles, but that's going to be quite a bit easier. Okay, so just something to throw in the mix if the push-ups don't work for you. So while we're on the subject of chest and triceps, one of the other things that we can do is we're going to bring in our almond breeze container. Okay, you can use a gallon of milk. You can just use an empty container, put water in it. That's what I recommend, just so you don't wreck your milk. But something like this weighs approximately 8.5 pounds. So it's not a bad weight to work with. If it's too much for some of these exercises, just fill it halfway with water and you have your 4.5 pounds, okay? So for this one, the first one we're going to do is a tricep extension behind your head. Take a good grip on the milk jug. Both sides, both hands are on each side. Sit up straight in your seat. Bring the jug straight up above your head. Your arms are in close toward your ears, just like this, okay? We don't want our elbows going out to the side. Bring the jug down right behind your head. Get a good stretch in the triceps and extend straight up, okay? If that feels too light, and if you feel like you've done this exercise before with dumbbells, you can try it with one hand. Bring the jug down behind your head and extend up. Totally up to you, play that by ear. Start with two hands. Make sure that your shoulder joint is stable and that you're not getting any pain, especially when you're reaching behind your head like that. Another great variation for tricep. This one I really like because it's more of a functional exercise. And what I mean by functional when I say that is it's something that you use during the day, okay? So you're out on the back porch, you're hanging out with some friends, you want to stand up from your chair, legs aren't quite getting you up, what do? You put your hands on the handles just like this, right to the outside of your hips, and you push up with your arms, okay? Only in this case, you're not gonna stand all the way up. My feet are touching the ground, but they're barely touching. All this weight's going on my arms and my triceps. Lower yourself down, bend the elbows, push back up to full extension, okay? You will feel right away this area of your arm working, your tricep. Last one for tricep, we're just going to use the milk jug because we have it here, and it's a good weight actually for me to do this with. So once again, if the 8.5 pounds is too heavy, fill it halfway, or get maybe a can from your cabinet, get a can of beans, something that's a little bit lighter, gives you a little bit of tension when you do this. So this is another variation of a tricep exercise. Just bend forward and support yourself on the front leg. Notice my back is flat. My elbow comes up, so my tricep is at a 90-degree angle, and I basically extend my arm and then bend, okay? Make sure the cap's on tight. Extend your arm and then bend. Great one for tricep. Then we move into your back muscles. So the opposite of chest. So when you're working your back muscles, secondarily, your biceps are getting worked. That's the front part of your arm right here. See a lot of people just doing things like bicep curls to work that area. What we want to do is come up with something a little creative with things that you can use in your house to hit this muscle or this area. So we're going to use the milk jug that we have since we have it out. Again, 8.5 pounds. Brace yourself with a staggered stance. One foot back, one leg forward. Lean down with your forearm. So again, you can see that my back is nice and flat and my arm is fully extended towards the ground. What I want to do from here is just pull upward towards my body. Hold it for a second at the top, fully extend, and then pull back up. So by doing that, that's hitting the midsection across my back. Another exercise that I really like a lot, you can use a stability ball for this. If you don't have a stability ball, which a lot of people don't, you might have something in your house like a footrest or an ottoman, okay? Something that's a little bit lower than this ball and maybe square that you can lie your midsection on. So I'm going out on a limb here. I didn't practice this one, so let's hope it goes well. On this, what I want you to do is just put your belly over the ottoman or the ball, okay? So most of your weight is on the ball and on your hands. And what we're going to do here is we're actually gonna target the low back, which is a trouble area for many people. So this one's kind of fun to do, especially on the ball. So you can do it two legs at a time. What we're going to do is squeeze the glutes together. And when you squeeze your glutes, look what happens. Your legs come up. So when you hold your legs up in this position, not only are your glutes working, but your hamstrings and your lower back. A variation of this is lower one leg, leave one up, and then simultaneously switch. Keep it nice and slow about this speed. That's actually my preference over doing two at a time. The reason that I say that, doing two at a time is very effective, but I find that the tension is constant when I do the one alternating, okay? I usually do maybe 15 to 20 reps when I do something like that. Most of these other exercises that I showed you are mainly, I usually go between 10 to 12 reps or up to 15, depending on the exercise and what your goal is, okay? But these, as far as low back go, are great, great exercise. Let's move this guy forward. As far as biceps go, biceps are pretty simple. It's not something I want to focus on. It's obviously a muscle that you want to have strong, but we're not going to put a lot of emphasis on it. A simple bicep curl with something like this, milk jug, you can do two at a time. If you have two milk jugs, you can do alternating, okay? If this isn't enough weight, you can take a pole, run it right through the handle, have one on each side, so you have your pull, and you're doing your biceps like this. So that will double your weight, basically. You could use a wooden dowel, something from the garage. You can stick a rake through it, use your rake. Doesn't matter what you do, but either thing will work. And then last but not least, as far as the major muscle groups go, we have some shoulder exercises. The only thing I want you to be cautious of, or one of the things I should say, be cautious of with your shoulders, is that if you have any limits with your shoulders or any pre-existing injuries, don't do these exercises, okay, without checking with your physician first, okay? Because a lot of times people do have shoulder injuries, and a pressing movement will just trigger it and maybe put you into a bad place. So just make sure that you're in a good position to do these. As far as different exercises, we're going to keep it fairly simple. You can have one jug in each hand, just like this. Let's step back a little bit so you can see my hands, and alternating overhead presses, okay? When you're doing this and you're standing and you keep your feet together, what'll happen is not only are you working your shoulders, but it also challenges your core muscles a little bit. Same thing if you're sitting on something like a stability ball. If you really want to mix it up, if you want to get really crazy, you can do it on one leg, okay? So many different ways to vary this. Another exercise to target just the front, you can hang on to your backpack or your kitty litter bag. We'll just do this two hands at a time. So if you have a 10-pound bag, arms are reached out straight in front of you, just raise up to about shoulder level and then back down. And that will target the front part of the shoulder. If you want to target the side, maybe a can of beans or a bag of rice in each hand, bring your arms out to the side. That'll work this side delt muscle. Same thing for the back side of the shoulders. Just bend forward, hinge at your waist, keep your back nice and flat. One bag in each hand or one can in each hand, and raise up towards the sides. A little pause at the top and lower all the way back down again. Just make sure when you're hinging forward at the waist like this and adding weight to your hands that you squeeze tight with the glutes, keep the abs tight because you want to protect your lower back, okay? And then for some abdominal exercises, one of my favorite things, Stephen, did you want to demonstrate these? I know you said you've done these before.
Yeah, I've done those before. Mary makes them look so wonderfully easy, and I have, it takes some coordination, but once you get it down, it's quite a workout, both cardiovascularly as well as strength training, but it's pretty amazing how easy Mary makes it look, so.
These are fun. These are great. If you've never seen these, they're basically called super sliders. They work on carpet if you need to move heavy furniture or you want to get a great ab workout. Buy these. You can get them at Home Depot, at Lowe's. They're maybe $4 or $5 for a set or two, okay? So the idea with these is put them down on the carpet, one foot on each one. Keep your toes about an inch or two from the edge of the carpet slider, just so your toes don't hit the carpet. And on this one, put yourself into a push-up position. So you're stabilizing with your hands on the ground, okay? Your shoulders will be stabilizing, keep your elbows straight. And the first one we're going to do will be a double knee tuck. So starting position, abs are nice and tight, two knees in, And then fully extend. Two knees in and fully extend, okay? The key is when you're demonstrating, only do one or two, because then everyone thinks you can do them so well. But if you get past five, they get really hard. So that's my secret. Another variation of this one is to do alternating single leg at a time, okay? So this one looks like starting position, similar to the other. We draw one knee in. Simultaneously, as we extend that leg, we pull the other knee in, keeping our abs nice and tight. See how my hips stay nice and low when I do this? Okay, we don't want this kind of thing happening. Okay, that's more mountain climber style. The neat thing about doing these abdominal exercises is, depending on the speed that you do them, you can turn them into cardiovascular as well. So a little bit goes a long way with the carpet sliders. These are awesome. Oh, one thing that I did mention earlier too that I should show you, if that's a little bit difficult for you to do an exercise like that because your hands are on the ground, maybe your shoulders don't like that angle. What you can do is you can modify that by bringing your chair back in, okay? Feet go on the sliders, and then put your forearms on the chair, just like this. Okay, so it brings the level up a little bit, so it's a little bit less stressful on your shoulders. So you can draw two in, extend, or one at a time, okay? So just a little variation. All right. So last but not least, the one thing we didn't cover is cardiovascular exercises, okay? Different ways to get cardio. A lot of people like to jog, okay? Some people can jog. I used to like to jog 2, 3, sometimes 5 miles a day when I could. I loved it. I've done it for many years. Unfortunately, I started to get quite a bit of low back pain and some knee pain, so I had to give it up. Variations of that, cycling, if anybody has a bike. I happen to have taken up cycling a few years ago, and I love it. I have a bike in my basement on a trainer, and then I have my bike that I take outdoors. The great thing about cycling, very low impact, so less strain on your joints. Okay, you can go at your own pace. You can ramp it up a little bit. You can back it down. Cycling's awesome. Walking is perfectly acceptable. A lot of people think, oh, walking's not enough. You can make walking a great exercise just by bumping it up a notch. Okay, walk a little faster, walk uphill, maybe put a backpack on, okay? Depending on what your body can handle. The key is go at your own pace. Don't overstress yourself and start out slow, okay? One other thing that you can do in your home, or two other things, jump rope. I don't know how long it's been since anybody's jump roped. Maybe you don't like it, and that's perfectly fine too. Some people love it, some people hate it. If you don't like it, don't do it. But something that's super easy to do in your house, if you have stairs, is to climb the stairs. And I know it sounds kind of lame, but well, we all go up and down the stairs all day, but you don't go up and down the stairs repeatedly 5 or 10 times, okay? So the idea would be basically just bring up the amount of times that you do it. Instead of going up and down one time to get the laundry, put the laundry down, up, down, 5 times back to back. Take a break, do it again, do 3 sets. So you can take something that's really very simple in your house and turn it into a nice full body strength and cardiovascular workout, okay? So what we'll probably do now is take questions from anybody if anyone has questions.
That's great, Mary. So if you have a question under the participant tab, if you click the participant that says 46 down at the bottom of your screen, there's a grayed out button called, there's one that says invite, mute me, or raise hand. Hit raise hand, and then we can bring you into the call. If you're on your phone, you have a question, it's *9. Or if you have a question you want me to ask, you can put it in the chat room. I did get one question, which I posted back in the chat room, that we will have this video available online. You'll get a link to it after the call sometime later this evening, that you can go to it tomorrow and watch it again, because I know some of you are probably frantically taking notes. But you can watch it, slow it down, stop it, and be able to try the different moves that Mary shows. I will say the 8 o'clock call got some extra bonus footage because she added a few new techniques in here for the 8 o'clock call, but we'll send out the link later on. Ben, I'll have you ask the question real quick, or can you ask your question in a second, Ben, that you wrote? But I wanna mention one thing, Mary, for you is, Ben had a question come into him, so I'm gonna have him ask you, but regarding repetitions, I know we talked earlier in the afternoon, your goal is 12 to 15, possibly with three sets, but do you want to talk about how to get to that and kind of how to work up to that?
Sure, yeah. Well, that falls under, basically, like I mentioned before, everybody's in a different place, okay, as far as comfort goes or skill and ability. If you're just starting out, you definitely don't want to start with 15 reps, three sets, okay? Repetitions mean, if you're doing a bicep curl, one, two, those are repetitions. Sets are different sets of that amount of repetitions. So when you're starting, start lower, okay? Maybe 10 to 12 repetitions, one set with each exercise. See how your body accepts that. And the reason that I say that is prior to putting together this presentation, I was speaking with my niece, Samantha, and I asked her, what are some of your challenges with Sjogren's? What's the hardest part for you for working out? And a lot of it for her is the soreness and the fatigue afterwards, okay? And the fatigue beforehand and sometimes during, but mainly the soreness that she experiences after. And that can be very difficult, okay? That's something that, you know, I personally am not familiar with that. So, you know, I have to keep an open mind to that. So what I do say is start lower, then work your way higher, but let your body decide that.
Yeah, it's about starting. I always tell people when we do our marathon program or our running program for Team Sjogren's, it's about getting to the starting line, doing what you can and being proud of what you can finish, not necessarily having to do 45 reps or three sets. You can do five repetitions and be happy with that because you used to do none. So something is better than nothing. So Ben, do you want to ask the question that you brought up?
Yeah, sure. So I asked if there's a way to modify a push-up if someone actually has wrist issues.
Wrist issues, yeah, that's a tough one. A lot of times the wrist issues come from, I'm just gonna get in a little closer so you can see, when you put your hands in this position, okay, that's a lot of pressure on your wrist there. So something that you can do is, if you have some dumbbells, or there's something called the perfect push-up, where it's a platform and you actually grab onto something like this, it's like a handle. So it would be almost as if you're doing this, but on the ground. So your wrist is in a more neutral position for that. That's a great variation. So once again, either a dumbbell or something like the perfect push-up where you're actually gripping and your hand stays in a more straight neutral position, okay?
Would planking also work for that, Mary, in regards to not, it wouldn't be the same exact moment, but having the, like you did on the chair with your wrist, your forearms on the chair for those push-ups. Yeah.
The only problem with that is when you plank, you don't have any joint action once you do the push-up.
Right.
Well, now that you mentioned that, what I'm going to do, okay, is this is a good point. So maybe this is even what you meant. If you grab on like this on the chair, see how my hands are not in this position, okay? It's more that neutral position like I was talking about, like this, okay? Mm-hmm. So something like that might be better. Yeah. So the idea is to stay away from this and more of this.
And also, again, you mentioned earlier, if it's on the weight of your body on your wrist is a problem, you can lay on your back and lift the backpack above you as well, which also might take pressure off those wrists as well.
It definitely does because it puts your wrist in that neutral position again. Yeah. So once again, the great thing about the backpack or the kitty litter, you can make it any weight that you want.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So we have a question from Mary online. Do you want to bring Mary in, Ben?
Yep, go ahead, Mary.
Hi, thanks for having us, Mary. I wrote a lot down, all this extra time that we seem to have to ourselves. Now I found a hula hoop in the basement. Is that worth trying to learn again?
Yeah, you know, it's very funny. If I could do a hula hoop, I'd have one here right now. But that is a great exercise. If you can do that, go to town. It's wonderful to get your heart rate up. It's great as far as like the hip mobility and movement. Great for your glutes, range of motion in your hips. Yeah, definitely. Is it something that you use often or?
No, I haven't done it since a child. I used to be able to do it as a child. I got it out and I tried it. It's like, oh, this isn't working well. But I thought, well, if I keep trying, I can.
No, I say give it a whirl. Anything that's fun like that, too. That's the other thing with fitness. Try to keep it fun. Try not to make it too serious and something that you don't want to do. Because, Stephen, you know, you hit on a really good subject that I'm going to touch on while we're talking about this is don't compare yourself to anybody else if you can help it. Nobody's any better than anybody else. And that's what I like to teach in fitness as well. Because if we sit there and worry about that, oh, nobody's doing this, or they say this isn't good, you know, everybody's doing the same thing. And I think people need to branch out a little bit. And I think the hula hoop is actually a great way to do that. So,
okay, I'll try.
Absolutely.
I did have a question online that said, do you have any other exercise? If you don't have stairs in your house, you don't own a treadmill and, or, you know, elliptical, is there other things to do cardiovascular or aerobic inside the house?
Yeah, actually there are quite a few different things that you can do. Like I mentioned, jumping rope is one thing. If you don't have a rope, I know I mentioned this in the earlier class too, you don't need it. Basically just get the motion going with your hands. Just a little jump, and you don't even have to get off the floor. Go up on your toes. You know, just a little bit of motion like this. Some high knee steps, depending on what your ability is. Anything where you're moving a little bit quicker than you normally move. You know, side to side, something like this. Okay? Anything where, like I said, you're moving at a little quicker pace to get that heart rate up is better than doing nothing or just moving at a slow pace.
That's great. I know some people are missing their gym. So this week I looked in online. I went onto YouTube and I just put Zumba class in and found all these free Zumba classes on YouTube that you could take 10-minute ones or 30-minute ones because I figured, you know, see what's on YouTube for free. So there's definitely opportunities that are as short as 10 minutes to a 30-minute class. And they're kind of aerobic as well, dancing, Zumba, that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's really funny that you mentioned Zumba because, you know, I have all my little notes. And I had Zumba written down because one of the funniest things, some days, you know, when you're in a really good mood and you just turn up the radio and no one's home and you kind of dance like no one's watching, and you've probably heard the cliche, dance like no one's watching, have fun, just enjoy it, crank up the radio, just move however you feel comfortable moving.
And the best part about an online class at home, they're free on YouTube. No one, you definitely know no one's watching because you can just do it and you don't have to go to a gym and have everyone watch you at the gym. You can do it actually in your home and try it out. And then maybe you'll want to join a gym someday that has a Zumba class. You never know. So
that's right.
The if you can't do squats, Samantha has a question. Do you have any recommendations for exercise if you can't do squats? Anything other exercise that you could target the same areas but softer on the knees?
Softer on the knees. Okay. So a lot of times, depending on what your situation is with your knees, I'll start with this and then I'll answer that question directly. A lot of times that issue comes from form, but if it's not form and you're sure you just can't do squats, that's totally understandable. A squat is what we call a compound exercise because there are two joint movements, okay? So if I were sitting in a chair like this and just extending my leg, okay, that's an isolated exercise for the front of my thigh, because there's one joint movement. Once I do the combination where my knees bend and my hips bend, that becomes, like I said, the compound movement. So to replace the squat, not necessarily, but we can do more isolation movements like the one that I was just showing you to hit the front of the thigh. So seated in a chair, as I mentioned, to work the front of the thigh, you can put an ankle weight on, okay? And just extend the leg to full extension. You'll actually feel this muscle fire up if you put your hand on it and then bend back down. That'll work the front of the thigh. To work the back of the thigh, it's pretty much the opposite movement. Ankle weight, you can lean forward like this and bend the leg back. And that's actually going to work the back of the thigh, the hamstring right here. Then we have to figure out, okay, how are we going to work these glutes? That's pretty easy too. So you've probably heard of a hip bridge. Hip bridges can be done numerous ways. I'm just going to show you the very basic way where you lie on your back, your feet are flat on the ground. And what you really want to do on this is before you start, it's called a pelvic tilt. And what a pelvic tilt is, normally when we stand, you see this curvature in my back here. Pelvic tilt does this, where we kind of tilt the pelvis forward and we take that little roundness out of the back. Okay, so it's kind of like undercutting with the pelvis. So when you're lying on the ground, do that pelvic tilt, squeeze your glutes, and then what I want you to do is push upward towards the ceiling. So it looks like this. Feet are flat on the ground, pelvic tilt, squeeze the glutes, and push up just like this. You'll feel, if you touch back here, you'll feel the glutes fire up, okay? So the big difference there, once again, is with a squat, you're getting it all done in one move. Breaking it down like this, you're keeping the knees safer. You're getting the front of the thigh, the back, and the glutes.
Great. I have another question in regards to yoga moves. I know you recommend yoga. Surely yoga is great. Any, and especially around stretching, any yoga moves that you suggest? I know you sort of showed the cat and the cow. So that's sort of a yoga-ish move, but is there any yoga move that you think would be good for patients?
Absolutely. It's funny because I've never done yoga in my life. And then I show people some of these stretches and they say, oh, downward dog.
Right.
Oh, sure. So downward dog is probably one of my favorites, come to find out. So this one, again, you know, as long as you have okay shoulder stability and your shoulders don't hurt, this one, what I love about it is gets the back of your calves and your hamstrings beyond belief. And also, like I said, it strengthens your shoulders in more of an isometric style move. Isometric meaning, once again, no joint action, you're just holding still. So downward dog, if I have this correctly, okay? If someone takes yoga and I don't have it right, I'm sorry. But hands are planted on the ground, tuck your toes underneath, push up and back with your hips like this. Keep your heels flat on the ground and push your hips back towards the wall behind you and walk your hands up a little bit. So when you're doing this, once again, the main points are straight knees and heels stay on the ground. You'll get a great stretch, as I said, up your calves and hamstrings.
That's great. And I know we didn't have any more questions, but I have one that I asked earlier, and it was, I told the story earlier at 3 o'clock call. So my mom, as you all know, is a Sjogren's patient. My mom went to a trainer, and the question is around how to find a trainer that works with you. Because my mom went to a trainer. I told this story before, and I was scared my mother was on the call. I know she's not on the 8 o'clock call. She was unfortunately missed the 3 o'clock, but as soon as I stopped the call, the phone rang. Who was it? It was my mother. I was scared she was on the call, but she, on this call, but she did not hear the story. So I told her I told it, and she said, great. She went to a trainer, and she got ended up getting very hurt by the trainer, because not so much the trainer's fault, but he was a young guy. She was trying to look young and hip herself, trying to keep up with the young trainer. He really wasn't experienced. I'm working with a 60-plus-year-old woman, and he was throwing stuff at her. And so she always talks about that, because sometimes those trainers aren't the best to go to. Sometimes you need to find an age-appropriate trainer that understands the circumstances. And so do you want to talk a little bit, because I know it was a question this afternoon, how do you find a trainer that could work with a Sjogren's patient, a person, and different ages? How do you suggest someone finding someone? Because, you know, you're unique, you have your own studio. So how do you find someone like you in their town?
Okay, so awesome question, okay? And this is huge. Just like anything else, do your homework, okay? Don't expect just because someone has trainer certification and they work at the big box gym that they're a great trainer, okay? Number one, do you feel more comfortable with a male or female trainer? Okay, whatever your answer is, it doesn't matter, okay? Everybody's different. Decide on that for starters. Number two, what are their qualifications? Don't hesitate to ask. The average person doesn't know about the different accreditations, okay? And that's okay too. To be a personal trainer, you have to have that certification. So chances are they have a decent one, but you never know. And then from there, what I would recommend is, and I'm always cautious how I say this, okay? I stay away from the bigger gyms, okay, as far as trainers go. And I'll approach that just from my own standpoint, meaning if I were going to work somewhere different other than having my own studio, would I go to a big gym to work? Absolutely not, okay? Look for someone maybe that has invested their time and their own money into opening their own studio, okay? It's something that I did. I'm serious about what I do. I enjoy what I do. I live for what I do, okay? My job is to be here to teach you to be healthy and to get fit safely. And you want to find someone else like that by interviewing them, okay? Call them, talk to them. How do they respond to you on the phone? Can they carry on a conversation? Meet with them in person. Are they just thumbing through their phone while they're talking to you? Or are they checking their own abs out in the mirror? Because I see people do that all the time, okay? I hesitate again to say stay away from younger trainers. There are many good younger trainers out there, but do your homework, okay? Ask questions. See if you feel comfortable with them and ask them what their experience is working with other, you know, Sjogren's patients. I have many people that come to me that have gone through cancer treatment, and the first words out of their mouth is, what's your experience with cancer patients? Okay, so people don't hesitate to ask. So I would hope that you would do the same.
That's great. And also, you can always, we always tell patients, doctors do too, sometimes some Sjogren's patients do qualify for physical therapy just to get ready to be going to a trainer or to start regimens of exercise. So you always might qualify for some physical therapist. Physical therapy, which would get you ready to move on to other treatments. So keep that in mind as well. I know we have another question. Thomas, we'll bring Thomas in then as well to see what his question is.
Go ahead, Thomas.
Hey there, Mary.
Hey, Thomas.
Thanks for coming here. helps a lot. I'm in New Hampshire as well, so.
All right, where are you in New Hampshire?
I'm in Tilton.
Okay, a little bit further.
About a half hour from you. My question is, my Sjogren's is primarily pulmonary, lungs.
Okay.
I was an aerobic instructor for quite a while, a ballet dancer. I did everything. I was in great shape. Then I came down with this whole thing in the hospital for like 4 months and whatever. And long story short, I still work out and stuff. I just get winded really quickly. Summer's coming. I want to wear a bathing suit, but I got this flab in the belly that I can't get rid of. I mean, I do sit-ups. I do a lot of the stuff you've already shown. I cannot run. I walk all the time. I do like 6 miles, 10 miles sometimes. I can't get rid of the little extra. I know my six pack is under there. I just can't get it to show.
I hear you. I got
any good suggestions on getting, diets probably. I do eat some candy once in a while, but I'm pretty good at the diet. I don't know. I'm just thinking, is there anything you could recommend?
You know, it's such a loaded question. And I think you've got
<I know.
laughs> many different factors here. Okay. I address this all the time, but I have to know a lot more. And that's something that's a little bit broader than, you know, what we can talk about tonight. But what I can tell you in a nutshell is that you kind of hit the nail on the head. You're eating a little bit of candy. You know, I don't know what your diet is. You know, it's something that I can certainly look at for you in the future if you want to connect after the call at some point. But we're talking about calories in, calories out. Is there alcohol involved? Is there a lot of sugar involved? The cardio, it sounds like you're doing, you know, your part. We have to talk about strength training and really kind of hone in on some maybe smaller areas that we can make some changes to help you get rid of some of that. And also age is a factor. So, you know, that would also depend, because I know, you know, from the point that I turned 50 and on, it's just gotten, I say sarcastically, better every year, and a little harder to lose that area as well. So I definitely can understand that. But I hope that helps to answer your question. And like I said, I'll be happy to speak with you at a later time to help you fine tune that.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Thomas. And, you know, we'll bring Nancy, and Nancy has a question too. But I do want to say before Nancy comes in, I always say this when I speak to Sjogren's patients, is we're sometimes so hard on ourselves, and we want, you know, sometimes you want everything back the way you used to have it before Sjogren's, and sometimes that's not possible. But you should be very proud of your thrivership for as well as you're doing with thriving with your disease, whatever that is. If that's getting out of bed every day and that's a success for you, you should be proud of that. You know, people that survive cancer, people that deal with chronic illness like that are very proud of their survivorship and their thrivership. Sjogren's patients and people with autoimmune diseases should be equally proud. So whatever you can do to improve yourself, you should be proud of that and try not to as much beat up on yourself, although easy to do. But I want people to know to be proud of themselves for all they do to survive this disease that really, unfortunately, as my mother knows and the many, many patients I work with, are with you for your lifetime. So it does change some of the ways you can do things and some of the ways you have to accept what can be and what some things you might have had to lose, unfortunately, and be proud of yourself, because we surely are all proud of you. I'll bring Nancy in with a final question, and then I'll wrap up. Nancy?
Hi, thank you. First of all, I just want to thank Mary, because this has been fabulous. I took lots of notes. But my question is back to finding a gym and a trainer. Here in New Jersey, like pretty much all of the hospitals have separate gym places that you can go. Would they be better at dealing with somebody with a disease? Like, would you recommend, because they are pretty big, but they're attached to a hospital, not necessarily physically attached, but, you know, associated with them.
You know, it's funny. It's a great question. And my experience with that is I've found that people that take the job a little bit more seriously might have better luck there. So I'm not saying that's the only place that you would have good luck, but judging from the way you asked the question, I would say definitely check that out, because I have met many other trainers that work at medical facilities that are awesome trainers, and they sometimes fine tune their training. And maybe, like, for example, working with people who are coming back from cardiovascular situations, okay, maybe having a heart attack or a stroke, and they take their training to another level.
So, I know when they advertise, they talk mostly about heart issues, but I would assume, I guess I could call and say, do you have experience in other diseases like Sjogren's.
Absolutely. I think it's a great idea. And the other cool thing about someone that works in the field like that is they might take that on as a challenge. And I know I've had to do it as, you know, I was growing through the years when I first became a trainer. You know, somebody would come in and, oh, do you have experience with this? It's like, oh, God, no, I don't, but I'm certainly willing to learn. And that's how I learn sometimes. So as long as the trainer has the drive and the ability, and you like the trainer and you get along with them, I say go for it. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nancy. I do want to, you know, I know Mary's being, you know, careful around the big box trainers. And I don't want to, like she said, not all the big box trainers necessarily have challenges, but many of them are trained in masses to kind of sell the services at the gym. So I can say this, Mary won't. But there are some amazing people in those large gyms that are amazing and they are willing to learn and go slow with you. And Mary said something, I think earlier in the 3 o'clock call, it's about meeting somebody, talking to them and seeing if they're willing to work on your goals, not what their goals they were trained to tell everyone to do. That's not a cookie cutter approach for every client they have. Are they willing to learn about arthritic conditions and Sjogren's and modify what they do? Are they willing to work with you? Do you get along with them? And there's, you know, some great trainers in the big box stores. And then there's some independents like Mary that you can find in your town that really do personalize some of their services. So, and then the hospital locations, of course, there's YMCAs. And there's also some rec centers that are amazing as well. So it's really the connection. And is that person willing to do some work for you? And don't forget, I always tell people, especially around doctors, but physical therapists and personal trainers, no different. You're paying for a service. So if you're not getting what you want, it's okay to quit that service and go somewhere else. So it's okay. So I, you know, especially the trainers, you want to try them out and they're all willing to try out for one or two sessions. You don't have to buy a pack of 20 sessions and then be stuck with that trainer. I've done it before, trust me. And then you're stuck with that trainer and then you feel guilty quitting. So you keep going and you don't know if it's really helping or you're getting hurt. So you want to try somebody out and see how you work in the gym together, see how the relationship goes and see if they are okay with some of your issues that you might have. You'll know right away working with them one free session or pay for a session, you'll know right away. So I don't know if you kind of agree with that, Mary.
Oh, totally. Yeah, you nailed it. And thank you for saying that. Because like I said, there's things I, you know, I'm cautious around. But, and you know, the other thing, Stephen, that you hit on that I would really like to mention before we do wrap it up is that you were letting people know, be proud of what you can do. I can only imagine how difficult it is for some of you people that once you, you know, got this disease and things started to develop for you, some more so than others, that you're more limited now and you feel like, oh, I can't keep up with this person. I can't do what I used to do. I get that. Okay. I try to put my mind into that as much as I can. And the one thing I have to say, the fitness industry can be, you know, it's all about making you feel better and be healthier. And one of the things that I just don't care for in the fitness industry, and I will share this, okay, because it is along those lines, is that they market to a certain type of person, okay? And I find that unfair. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you're looking around and you see these ads of these totally buff, young, 23-year-old men and women, you know, pumping all this weight and swinging these kettlebells that would probably end up, you know, having half of us with a hospital visit after doing that. It's not all about that. That's not what fitness and health is about, okay? So please don't try to feel bad if you can't keep up with something like that. A lot of that is not realistic, okay? You are realistic. I am realistic. So just keep that in mind and remember that where you are is where you are. You can advance from here. Just start slow and you can make it happen.
Mary, that's a wonderful way to wrap up. And I have to tell you, as you probably saw this past hour, Mary isn't just talks the talk, she walks the talk as well, because when I saw her at the New Hampshire Walk talking to our Sjogren's patients, she's just as caring as she comes across here. And I can't thank enough her sister and her niece, Samantha, who I know are watching tonight. They're on the call. So they'll be calling you after, I'm sure. But I appreciate the entire family for all that you do for the Sjogren's Foundation and for volunteering your time. I think we got way more than we would if we had paid someone to go out and have a personal session with you all. And you'll all be able to watch this again to see what see the moves that Mary suggests, so you can slow it down and watch it again. So Mary, another wonderful, wonderful call, Mary. We truly appreciate, and we appreciate your support of the foundation and your family as well. And with that, I'll say goodnight to everybody. So thanks, everybody. We'll see you on the next call. Thanks. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks, Mary. Bye, Samantha. Thank you. Bye.